You have your Bibles, which I hope you do. Make your way to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We continue our series in this letter that Paul wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We are in verse 9 this morning to 14. So please open up that up. And again, I want you to encourage you to take notes and to circle things in your Bible so that when you come back to it, you read it. These words and these things can come back to you as you read. So Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Do you ever struggle on how to pray for someone? What to pray? Do you struggle with what words to say? Knowing, am I really praying God's will over this person? In the text this morning, we see Paul praying God's will for a bunch of believers in Colossae and Laodicea. We know it's a prayer that God wanted Paul to pray because he chose to include it in the very Bibles that we're reading. Paul had never met this church. At the time of writing this, he's in prison. And one of his disciples, Epaphras, had come to him. He's the one who planted this church in Colossae. And he had told them that there are false teachers coming into this church and they're causing division. It seems as though this group of believers were beginning to be influenced by a form of Gnosticism. And for example, what that Gnosticism is they said that in order for a person to be saved, or even for a person to grow in his faith, he had to experience a special knowledge, a divine spark. They needed new revelation, not in Scripture, and they needed more spiritualness. This Gnostic teaching attacked the Word of God because the Colossian church was starting to let this teaching come in. It was in great danger. And Paul was praying for them. These verses have us look at Paul's prayer, and we can learn a lot about how we should pray for God's people in his church, which, by the way, is always being attacked. So it's a good thing that we're praying for each other. Paul, as part of his introduction in this letter, prays. Prayer should be the first thing we go to. Paul does. He wants his church to know he's praying for them. So this morning, we're going to answer, what does Paul show us in his prayer life? What can our prayers look like? The first thing that I see is Paul's prayer was educated. Look at verse 9a with me again. And so from the day that we heard, we have not stopped praying for you. Paul heard. That's a great word. I would love you to circle it, underline it. The word means to understand something by listening to them. Paul listened to Epaphras about what was going on in the Colossian church, and he became educated on how to pray for them. Epaphras told Paul all the needs of the church and the attack that was going on of this Gnostic teaching. He gathered this information and he began to pray. Because he listened, he was educated. This also means, by the way, that Epaphras told him everything. The good, which we read in the first 8 verses. Paul talks about their faith. He'd heard about their faith and their love and their hope, and it was growing in the church. Praise the Lord. We saw that in verse 4. But he also told them about the bad things that were going on. Hence the theology lesson throughout this letter. And even in Paul's prayer for them. An educated prayer was something that Paul would teach the believers that they needed to have as well. We can fast forward to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. When he says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it. It actually has the same understanding of that knowing or that educated or that listening. The idea here is that when you pray, you need to be alert about what's going on. This is an educated prayer. Paul's prayer was educated because he received information, he listened, and he began to pray. That's a good lesson for all of us. Secondly, we learn this. What does Paul's prayer show us about how we should pray? Number one, it should be educated. Number two, Paul's prayer was without ceasing. We saw it again in verse 9. And so from the day that we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. Another characteristic of Paul's prayer life is it was without ceasing. Paul says, we have not stopped praying for you. After Epaphras had educated Paul on what the situation was going on in Colossae and Laodicea, Paul did not simply pray once and move on. He faithfully continued to pray for this church, for these believers, people he'd never met. This is something that Scripture commands us to do. And listen to what Paul tells the church in Thessalonica. He says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Same words. The idea here is Paul was constantly praying for the church, for the believers. He encouraged the Colossians and he encouraged the Thessalonians that this ought to be the prayer life of a believer, constantly in prayer. Praying for believers. This tells me a lot about Paul's prayer life. Constantly talking to God. Paul's prayer was educated. It was without ceasing. And thirdly, and this is the bulk of our prayer, Paul's prayer was bold. Paul's prayer was bold. Look at verses 9 through 11 with me again. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Just stay on that verse for a little bit. Another thing we must notice about Paul's prayer life is that they were bold. Look at the filled with the knowledge. He uses the word filled here in verse 9. It's a word you should circle because actually Paul uses it 9 times throughout this letter. So that must mean that it's kind of a big deal. It's kind of a big deal for a word. The word filled carries the meaning of something to completion. Paul uses it so often that we ought to circle it. He wants them to be complete, filled, full, and full of the knowledge of God's will. Remember, in the church in Colossae, they were allowing Gnostic teaching to come into the church. In other words, there was some special knowledge that they needed. And so Paul uses the word epinosis for the word knowledge here. It's the Greek word epinosis. He specifically uses that word to counteract their word for gnosis. Paul's praying that God would give them a complete, deeper, fuller knowledge that is given to all believers, not just a special class of believer. Paul, in his prayer, is saying God always wants his children to know his will. You don't need some secret divine spark. You can know what God's will is right now, believer. That's what Paul's praying. It's not a secret. So pray for it. Because Paul does. And the Holy Spirit of God, will reveal the truth in his scriptures. Look at the next part of this prayer. Filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So you have to connect these two. You are to be complete, lacking nothing, knowing God's will. How? That's where we connect these. So Paul's praying that the believers will be complete, lacking nothing, knowing God's will through the scriptures. God will give spiritual wisdom, not Gnostic garbage, and understanding. Here's the idea. The spiritual wisdom teaches us by the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and understanding is how to actually do it. So God gives you the wisdom and he gives you the word of God and he seals you with the Holy Spirit so you can do what he says. That's God's will. You don't need a secret knowledge. If you are a believer in Christ, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit and you can know God's will because he gave you his word. Do you see how Paul is weaving his theology into this prayer for these believers? This is a bold prayer. The spiritual wisdom, the understanding is given to every single believer. There is no special class of believer. You know, the ones that got the divine spark that we talked about last week that Gnostics teach. We will know that this prayer, this bold prayer, by the way, Paul's saying, we will know that it's lived out in a genuine follower of Christ when a genuine follower of Christ follows him. Look what happens in this bold prayer. Look at verses 10 through 13, or 10. Look, just tackle these first verses here. So when you, again, you, he's asking that you be filled complete in the knowledge of his will through the word of God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, so you can apply what God is saying and doing in your life, so as to, here's the result, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. Look at those verses. You should underline, so that you may walk, so as to walk, fully pleasing him. I see four things that Paul's prayer, how this bold prayer to God will be answered in the believer's life if they read God's word, apply God's word, follow God's word. This is how that prayer will be answered. Well, the first thing that I see is you'll have fruit. You see it right there in verse 10. Bearing fruit in every good work. This is the active voice in the present tense. What that means is this. This is our responsibility. God has given us all the means by which to walk with him. Our response is to surrender. He's given you his Holy Spirit. He's given you his word. Your response is the fruit. This should be happening in every believer's life. They ought to have fruit. This isn't a special class of believer. Every believer who listens to God's word and does it will bear fruit. What is that fruit? Well, Galatians chapter 5 tells us. Here's the fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When you are actively yielding to the Holy Spirit's work, fruit will happen. This is no secret. We will have fruit. Every believer will have fruit. But what else? Go back to the verse 10. We have knowledge. How will we know? We will continue to grow in his grace. We will have knowledge of God. What is this continued growth in grace? Well, Peter talks about it in 2 Peter. He says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we read God's word? Why do we apply God's word? So that we can learn who Jesus is and be more like him. That's the knowledge of God. To look like Jesus, to learn about Jesus, and to act like Jesus every single day. That's the knowledge of God. Paul writes it in Philippians chapter 3 as well. He says that I may know him. This is Paul's prayer in Philippians. He says, I want to know him. Paul, the apostle Paul, needs to know Jesus more? Yes, because if he wants to grow, he needs to grow in his knowledge of the Lord. Even Paul. All believers need to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what else will become true of the believer and an answer to prayer as they yield to the Holy Spirit's work? We'll have fruit. We'll have a continued growth in our knowledge of Jesus and who he is so we can be more like him. And we'll have, in verse 11, it says, we will begin to have strength. We will be strengthened. Being strengthened. The idea of Paul's prayer here is not that we are going to get stronger or that we have to get stronger. He says, being strengthened. The idea here is our strength doesn't come from us. It comes from above. We are strengthened believer, when we yield to the Holy Spirit's work every day. He is our strength. The Gnostics believed that it's somehow there was some sort of a spiritual divine spark that if you were more intellectual, if you were more philosophical, if you were more this, you. And Paul's prayer is saying, no, go there to get your strength. You can't do this on your own. You can't do this alone. And then finally, I see again, one of the fruits of this bold prayer that will be answered in the believer, not only fruitfulness, knowledge of God's strength, but in verse 12, we see gratitude. Giving thanks to the Father. You will be a grateful person. If you find yourself complaining and whining a lot, have somebody pray for you. Ungratitude is not a spiritual gift. Gratitude is the work and yielding of the Holy Spirit's work in a believer's life. They're grateful. Gnostics believe you can't have a personal contact with God. It was only for a special kind of people. What Paul's saying in his bold prayer is that we can talk to this God every single day. And we can be grateful for that. A worthy walk that Paul talked about in verse 10, a worthy walk pleasing to God is a walk that is thankful to God. What a bold prayer. What a bold prayer for these believers in Colossae and Laodicea. But there's one final thing here. Lastly, I want you to see this. What does Paul's prayer show us about how we should pray? Well, Paul's prayer was educated. He listened, heard, then prayed. His Paul was without ceasing. He was continually going to the Lord on their behalf. Paul's prayer was bold. And fourthly, I want you to see that Paul's prayer was to God. You might think, well, duh. Well, that's kind of important. Look at verses 12 to 14. He ends this prayer giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you, the believer, to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us, he meaning all believers, himself included Paul, has delivered us from the domain of darkness, and he has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. When Paul prays, he knows he's calling on tremendous resources that are only given by one person, and that is the God of the universe. Paul knows exactly who he's talking to. Do we? In Hebrews chapter 4, it says this: let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Paul's prayer should be a reminder. We can personally go to the God of the universe for anything. He's listening. We can come boldly. I remember growing up, my prayer life consisted of rote prayers. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Blasphemy. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. By the way, I didn't realize I was actually quoting scripture. That's a good prayer. I didn't even know it was scripture. I didn't realize till I started going to a prayer meeting on Wednesday nights after I got saved. When Jesus saved me on November 2nd, 2001, me and my wife started going to this thing on Wednesday nights where people prayed. Now, I just went to listen to the word of God because the guy that was my pastor, Pastor Pat, would give a short message. And I'm like, I'm coming for that. The other people, they're praying. I don't know how to do that. And so me and my wife sat in and I'm thinking, okay, let's sneak out. These people are going to pray. And a guy named Gus Gonerman, older gentleman, saw me and my wife by ourselves. We probably looked like deer in the headlights, whatever. Gus said, hey, you two, come over here. You're praying with me. And I'm like, oh, dear. I'm like, I don't know how to pray. And so Gus went first. And Gus talked to God. He taught me how to pray. What Paul wants us to know is, and the Gnostics were trying to infiltrate into this church, is somehow you can't talk to God. You're not good enough. You don't have the divine spark. You don't have the special knowledge. And what Paul's saying is, you can go to God every single day because Jesus Christ saved you and he's given you the access. So go boldly. Go boldly to God every single day, he tells the Colossians. I love how Paul directs his theology in this prayer. He says this personal saving God is a God we can pray to. Look at verse 13 again. He says, he has transferred us from the kingdom of his beloved son. Transferred? It's a great word. He's moving us from one place to the next. It's God's work. And he's transferring every believer, every one of them, from darkness into the light. From the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of heaven. This loving God is who Paul's praying to. And you can too. The kingdom of God is marked by this kind of love, by the way. God the Father loves God the Son. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17 tells us this. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. The love of the Son for the Father, the love of the Father and the Son for the believers. The love of believers to a triune God and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and the love of the believers amongst each other. This directed prayer is directed to the one that Paul knows is in control of all of it. See the importance of theology that plays in our prayer life? Paul had access to the triune God because Jesus Christ saved him from his sins. Look at verse 14 again. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. It's because of what Jesus did that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. So what's our application this morning? What should our prayer life look like? Present day. Well, I see four things again. I think our prayers need to be educated. Paul's conversation, his listening to Epaphras about the Colossians' struggle, prompted him on how he should pray. In the same way, when we pray, our prayers need to be educated. Listen to people. Ask questions. Oftentimes in crisis situations, I try to listen before I talk. I sometimes fail at that quite often. I just want to get in there. I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, Paul listened. Like the old saying is, there's a reason God gave us two ears and one mouth. Now, I'll tell you this. This goes both ways. Oftentimes when people tell me a situation and I'm listening, they leave out the 20% that matters. They're not honest. They don't involve their sin. When Paul listened, he heard the good, but he also heard the bad. We have to be educated in our prayers for people. Ask questions. And if you're the one asking or receiving the prayer, be honest with the person who's asking. Tell them what's going on. Don't leave out the 20%. God already knows. He just wants to involve all of us together going to God, the one who's in control. Our prayers need to be educated. Our prayers need to be continuous. Paul could not stop praying for the church. So how do we get a continuous mindset of prayer? Well, here's how we do this. We have to believe that everything in this world is controlled by God. We have to have a God viewpoint. We have to be constantly thinking about Jesus in every situation we find ourselves in, because that will draw us to a constant prayer life. When we see somebody, we have to realize that every man, every woman has a soul that God died for and he cares for. We have to see every situation as something that God is looking to redeem. That nothing happens in our life is by chance. When you begin to have that mindset, everywhere you go is an opportunity to go to the Lord in prayer. That's what it means to have constant prayer. Like when you're driving home, God, you're in control of my drive home. You're in control of me going to Casey's. You're in control of every situation. I am mindful of that, and so then I am praying. Maybe the person right next to you, you know, slams the gas tank in, and you're like, man, that person's in a bad mood. I need to pray for him. Our prayers need to be continuous, and the only way that happens is we believe that God's in control of everything. You know, the one that we're talking to. Number three, I think our prayers do need to be bold, like Paul's. Paul's prayer was bold. What bold prayer do you have going right now for a believer in your life? Does it look like this in Colossians 9? How is the Holy Spirit prompting you to pray boldly for the people's lives that are in your life? The life of people in your life. You ever been woken up at 3 a.m. to pray for somebody? Our prayer life needs to be bold, because we're talking to the one who's in control. Why not be bold? You know, the answer of no is still an answer. Which leads me to my final thing. Our prayer life knows who we're talking to. Do you know who you're talking to when you pray? Are we minimizing the God of the universe in our prayer life? You know, like a tag along, like, you know I'm supposed to be praying right now, but I'll take things into my own hands. God, you just kind of bless me as I'm going. Do you know who you're talking to? Do you know this Jesus? Are you praying that he would take control? Because if not, that's not trust. That's like asking God to bless your path, not his. Some of you, like Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, are talking to God, but he isn't personal yet. Cornelius was a God-fearing man, but he didn't know Jesus. And so God sent Peter to tell him about Jesus. Some of you are talking to God, but he's not personal yet, because you have never bended the knee and trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior alone. You never asked him to genuinely forgive you of all of your sins, especially the one of unbelief. to come into your life and to save you. That is a prayer, by the way, he will answer immediately. Genuine repentance and faith in him. You can do that today. And truly begin having a conversation with the living God. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we are grateful. Because we are now talking to you, we recognize who you are. And because of what your son did, Jesus, because of what you did on the cross to die for our sins, to die for my sins, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. And Lord, I do pray for your genuine followers of you. Lord, that we would live our lives as a thank you back. That we would live our lives surrendered to your work, Holy Spirit. That we would not just be readers of the word, but doers of the word. That we would find great joy looking more like you. Lord, thank you. Thank you for teaching us how to talk to you. And my prayer is that we would do that regularly. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people said,